Jessica, thank you for joining me today. And you were my first guest that I ever had actually on the podcast. And so here we are 3 years later. And what's going on in your world now?
Wow. Right now, I am working with a new coach. So I'm feeling like a noob in this experience of the things that I'm learning now. So it's very much a reorientation experience. It's putting all the tools that I teach into practice. And I'm noticing that it's almost like I'm playing a video game and I just got to this new level. And all the things that used to work on the previous levels do not work on this level. And so some of them do, but not in the same way that they did. So it's just this whole reorientation experience, and it's fun and it's scary and it's lighting me up like nothing else ever has.
That says a lot, because when I think of your world and the role you play in your service, you're your own pace car of what's possible for where you can take your clients. And so I think it's important to point out that the realm of coaching for you and being coached, the fact that you're still able to find ways that challenge, stretch, and grow you, I'm like, you've been doing this for how long, and how are you still able to be hitting these thresholds of experience? What challenges you about the approach that you're learning right now?
It's very experiential. So the language that I have habitually been using and the way that I frame things and the way that I have just experienced this, it's all about me. And now I'm coming into this collective, the we. It's the we-ness.
How does that hit different for you?
It's interesting, because I thought I was in that realm. But as I'm learning this, I'm realizing how much I've made it about me. Because in the beginning years, it was all about the other. I was very you-focused. Who do I need to become for you? So there was still a focus of me, but it was always focusing on the other. And then I entered into the spirituality realm and learning about it's me, self-love, self. And now I'm like, okay, it's just another stage, I think, in the development. Now it's we, now it's the collective. And so my instinct is to go to me, because I've been taught everything is inside out. And now what I'm learning is it's just omnipresence and how to relate to that, how to allow myself to relate to that in a new way is the best way I can describe it.
Whoa, that's a lot to unpack. How do you have the sense of self or the sense of self-responsibility? And when, let's take something like a scenario of, okay, I'm trying to optimize my day in, day out experience. How can I, as a business owner, make myself more productive in my habits and behaviors? How does my personal routine of planning for a day tie into the we mentality you're talking about?
Yes, that's a great question. So as far as I am understanding it now and experiencing it now, it's very much upon waking, remembering that I am part of this whole experience, and that I am, when I'm focusing on that, I'm allowing myself to receive that potent energy that is all of creation, that's abundant and everywhere, all the time, all at once, right? When I experience it just being me, then I am identifying myself as separate from it, and therefore I am limiting the amount of energy I'm receiving as a result. And so I'm also limiting myself only to like my history and what I already know, which is so familiar and comfortable. Yeah. And very much a habit that we get into. Many of us are doing the same things every day. And so this is about really doing what you're led to do and what you're inspired to do rather than what you think you should do. Just, it's the same stuff that I've been saying for years, but it's so much more expansive in the experience of it. Really allowing myself to exchange energy and add to the energy and just be it and share it. Does that make sense?
My immediate hit when you said that was you're tapping into an incredibly powerful place of empathy, because you're no longer, okay, it's me against the world. It's like, I'm coming together in service of, I can't quite find the language, like the collective or that, like some of that, it's unfamiliar to me.
Oh, but see, yes. You, like you mentioned earlier on the call, pace car. So when you're aware of the energy, the source of all that is, and you experience it, because focus is our biggest, I think, biggest responsibility, is where we're directing our focus, where we're applying it. Whatever we apply our focus to, that's what we're investing in. So if I'm investing in having to be to calibrate to my neighbor, then I'm forfeiting what's available to me that would then serve my neighbor if I'm allowing myself to experience my vibration.
Okay.
The vibration that's available to me, the frequency, the energy. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
It sounds, I'm hearing this juxtaposition of, it's when I am in service of my focus, my purpose, the thing that is like, what are the things I'm meant to do and contribute to our generation, this era? And when you're focusing on that for yourself, then you can actually be considerate and how to position yourself for the collective, for the whole. How does that hit?
Yeah, that lands. It's very much an exchange all the time. And when I'm focused on allowing myself to receive this energy, what I'm becoming aware of is like the ultimate truth and not this game that I've been playing out as a role, as an identity. I'm Jessica, I'm a mother, I'm a separated wife, I, you know, all these roles, teacher, coach. And then I start to just allow myself to see, and with more clarity, that energy is what fulfills and sustains me. Without it, I'm basically not enough, right? And when I'm with it, I am more than enough. And when I'm feeling that, just by feeling it, I'm adding. And then whatever I do from that is going to be inspired, and it's going to be heart-led, if you will, and it's going to have a greater impact on humanity. And instead of me thinking I need to do something to look a certain way or get something, this is more really allowing myself to be in my true nature.
Wow.
And then seeing how that impacts people around me, including, you know, those that I'm most intimate with and those that, you know, come buy something from me off Facebook Marketplace.
Wow. Yeah, that's hitting pretty hard for me right now in this chat. I think I had a thesis that when I find the connection of the love of my life and that innermost relationship, when you've got love, what else do you need? And that's just not accurate, because we need the whole picture, and the infrastructure of community is hitting me so hard right now. And that when we have something like the love of our life and we're learning to cultivate sustained connection with a significant other, it is the infrastructure of your community and the quality of your work environment, your self-care routines. It's the full package that nurtures all the other areas. And I think before, I just was expecting, well, when you've got your wellspring of your partnership and that's tuned in, everything else, you know, is a cherry on top. I think I've realized that the community is also big scoops of ice cream, and it's the banana, and, you know, the fact that it may all come together, that is the consummation of the cherry on top.
Yes, I really love the way you frame that up. I thought the same way, like, in so many different ways too, like, it's either going to be love or money. And I was like, oh, both. Or really looking at my neediness, what I thought I needed in order to have the experience I wanted to be having. And that's just all changing now.
So you've gone through some big transitions in your heart space and your personal life. What encouragement would you provide to someone who is starting over after a long-term relationship?
Gosh, Three things come to mind. Feel whatever you're feeling and learn to feel it the most effective, efficient, compassionate way that you can. Allow yourself to receive support and have faith in whatever outcome you can see is available for you, and being curious about that. Whatever the end, you know, your destination, your destiny, the vision that you have for yourself. So four kind of slipped in there after the three, but those are the four things that come to mind. Is one of the biggest things that I learned was how to feel my feelings in a way that is productive. And you know, the key takeaway for me is don't attach the story when you're feeling your feelings, because that's going to fuel the feelings. Don't keep replaying what he or she said or what happened or I lost my job or the catastrophizing, right? You got to let go of the stories. And the way that we do that is by focusing on the sensation that is presenting, that energy that's in the body, because energy can't be created or destroyed. It can only change states. And that energy that is in motion in the body can change states, and it can liberate us from it when we focus on it until it basically dissipates, because we're bringing our focused attention and we're powerful, especially when we're when we're aware of our connection to all of it.
Wow. I love that intention around when you actually sit with it and give attention to it. And that I just remembered an experience that you led me through whenever we were in the coaching dynamic a few years ago, where you led me into actually visualizing in the body, what does this tension feel like? Where was it? And it was in my solar plexus for me. And it was like, what color is it? What is the sensory around it? And I remember that it was yellow, and it was a muddled yellow. And just that's a very novel thing. When I think about feelings, I think I go up to my mind and I think of the flashbacks of, yeah, this scenario when this person did that, it made me so angry. What is the difference between productively feeling your feelings and not productively feeling your feelings if you're going through a breakup or a big transition?
And I think that in the liberation, you have the freedom to see a new way. See a different perspective. And I think that's productive, is to be able to have a shift in your consciousness as a result of liberating yourself from the feelings. So it's like a gateway to your own transformation, instead of just keep dipping the ladle into the soup of feelings and feeling them over and blaming someone for them or the external circumstances. This is taking us a true sense of responsibility for changing the state of that energy so that you can have the freedom to see a different perspective.
What are three questions that you would encourage someone to ask themselves to facilitate productively connecting with feelings in a moment like that?
Okay. I would say, are you feeling scared, angry, or sad? Sit up straight, relax your body, and go into where the sensation of that feeling is in your body. So it's not a question. It's more of a, this is how to do it. And then I guess the question would be, are you willing to sit with it and focus on it with loving compassion until it changes forms and you experience a new way, a new state of being as a result?
Whoa. And that question, the third question, is powerful, because it's not, are you willing, which is so beautiful. I love that language so much, because it's not a pass fail. It's not a yes, no, in the sense of, it's just, are you willing to try?
Yeah. And something really beautiful happens, because you, in the past, I just wanted to feel it enough to feel the relief of it being over, or I would avoid it because it's uncomfortable. So something really powerful happens when you're willing to sit in the discomfort for long enough to see it change and realize that your focus and your willingness and your allowing it had something to do with that. And, you know, how we do anything, we do everything. And when we learn to do things in a new way in one area of our life, it's going to impact the whole, right? And so there again, we are each having a separate experience, but we are all contributing to the whole. And even in this personal experience, how I do one thing, I do everything, which contributes to the whole of my personal experience, but that personal experience is connected to everyone else's personal experience. So what I'm willing to do can impact other people's willingness to do it, because we're all connected. So I can either join people in the misery and the sorrow and the doubt and the elation and the adventure and the curiosity, and wherever I'm at any given time, I'm joining energetically other people's conscious experience and state of being in that moment.
That's extremely real and palpable. And I went to a dinner with a girlfriend recently. I hadn't seen her in a few months, and she looked great. She had a particular glow about her, and she went into sharing that she had taken 3 months and did this crazy food allergy reduction diet, and she had some particular circumstances that she needed to figure out. Why did she keep breaking out in hives? But the after story, the fruit of it, is that she spoke with so much clarity when she dialed in 3 or 4 parts of her eating behaviors that made these huge changes. And listening to her enthusiasm of it wasn't, I feel like I've heard a lot of people where they're like, they're in the thick of, I'm trying to be paleo, or I'm going to be fill in the blank. And it just sounds exhausting. And there was something about, like you're describing, when someone is in the energy of their success and their mastery around something that's important. And I went home from that because she had shared something about caffeine. She completely cut out caffeine. And at that time, I think I was having 3 or 4 cups of coffee a day and was being very exhausted in that habit, and had a little tension of not knowing how to transition with that for myself. Hearing her and just seeing her energy, it gave me some kind of, if someone gave you like a green light, if it was a palpable, hey, like here, you can have some of the pixie dust, like you can use this because you can have it too. She didn't say any of that. It was just listening to her success that I was like, I think I'll be okay if I just switch over to matcha lattes. And that was my behavior transition. And it was effortless versus something that felt daunting. And it was from the power of hearing her share from a genuine place about her experience, not a, well, I read this thing and this is what I think you should do, blah. It wasn't you. It was just a, this is where I'm in harmony with myself. And hearing how she was in a state of blessing was very powerful.
Yes. And I love what you said, because that's what I wanted to follow up with, is that she was simply sharing from the state that she had arrived at because of the choices that she made and the focus that she had. And she was invested in it. She invested her time, probably some money and her energy to have a result. And then you got to be blessed by that energy in so many ways. And other people will likely be blessed by it now, because now you're sharing it.
It's such a tangible energetic exchange, hearing the power of someone else's success. I think I've always looked at that for mentorships, or in this chapter of my life, something I know I can share that's rocking my world. The being in the room for friends' film premieres and being in the room to see any type of art releases of any of my community. And I was just in LA and I got to be at a film premiere, and there was a 4-panel conversation with the 2 main actors, the sound designer and the writer. But there's something so there for the taking, if you are hungry for it, of that spirit of success and the spirit of you can create, alchemize in your life.
Yeah. And people sharing it. For me, growing up, I saw people being judged for sharing their successes, or because of competition or jealousy or comparativeness. And so it seems very much like a paradigm we are moving out of. And to be more accurate, what you're describing is a paradigm we're moving into.
It's there. It's such an activating energy. Yes. You've made some huge energetic jumps in your service offerings. Yes, it translates into making more money. What are some of the beliefs, behaviors, and actions that you body?
It was modeled to me. First and foremost, I remember speaking with a woman who was talking about her coach at the time. And when she told him how much he charged, something inside of me was like, whoa. And I just knew I wanted to be in that environment and I've had such a history of scarcity, and it's easy to find everywhere you look. Most of us talk about it and it's part of our normal language. And so I really wanted to go stratospheric, if you will. That was the language I had at the time. And it was like her speaking about that. I just was like, I want to know what somebody who can charge that much is doing in their life. And how can they allow themselves to receive like that? How can they? So I made the big investment and started to experience magic immediately. Magic, miracles, shifts in consciousness, openings to a receiving. There's this belief that the decision makes the fruit come. And most of us grow up stocking up on the fruit and then make a decision. Makes sense?
Yeah.
And so it's living in faith. And it really taught me so much about faith, about knowing that what I want is safe guidance for me, knowing that we're all here to express that energy that wants to come through us. Call it God, call it consciousness, call it the ether, the omnipresent source of all that is creation itself. Whatever you call it, it is alive within us and it wants to express itself through us. And when we deny that, we're going to have a certain experience. And when we allow it, we're going to have a certain experience. So it wasn't even about the money. It was at first, because I was just like, whoa, that's different. That's outside of my wheelhouse. That's way outside of my comfort zone. And that's what allows me to feel alive, is jumping outside of my comfort zone. I feel most alive. And I think it's because I'm more available for the intuition and I'm less habituated and conditioned. So my natural self loves to like just poof, leap. And it comes with tears and it comes with fret, but I learned how to be with myself in that way, in a more compassionate way. And am I answering your question?
I think so. But tell me about, you said you know how to be with yourself in the fret.
Yeah, in the feelings, in the what it's taught me, what it's teaching me. Because every time we reach a new level in the video game and everything changes, then we are being asked to have more faith. And eventually, there's going to be something else that happens that's going to ask you to have faith. So it never ends. We're so infinite. There's no end to this. Right? We can go as far as we're going. I hear so much lately, I never heard about this, but then 3 months, I've heard it at least 10 times about that 4 minute mile. Oh, and once one person broke the 4 minute mile, then there's so many people. So it's like once one person does it, it's like bing. So learning, have faith when there's no proof that it's going to work out changes you, because the conditioning is what it is. It's the way that we try to control it or stay busy or just be productive or just avoid how it feels. And so it's a whole new realm of living when you're advancing yourself into the unknown and having to learn who you really are and what you're really made of, and identify less with who you thought you were and who you presented yourself as.
Ooh, I love that. The presenting yourself as who you thought you were. I got back from LA yesterday, and that was such a huge experiment for me, because the last time that I lived in LA was for the hottest minute. It was a blip. And it was when I was 20 years old. And the headspace of that chapter of life and getting into commercial modeling and that space. It's so based around, I'm here to attempt to make it. And am I able to be in the room? And am I worthy of being in the room? It's a competition based, going to go-sees and castings. It's such a, it tests you to the core when people are basing, do you look a certain way for this certain project? And that experience to come back now and be there for pleasure and be there for networking and to anchor into, I guess, being in, we went to a few interesting jazz clubs and different fun, swanky environments. And it was like going to the circus to just observe the various forms of peacocking, if you will, how people are trying to, we would go to a place with live music, and I love my friends that I was traveling with because we're all from Austin, or everybody's traveled in different places, and we all got up to dance to the music, and we would be in a room of probably 200 people, and no one was even bobbing their head to the music. They were so focused on, it was just like you could walk around, cameras weren't allowed in some of the spaces, but you could go around and it was as though everybody was ready to be posing for Instagram posts, just full, like, it was so gross because it just felt like everybody was posing to live the life and they weren't actually living it. So I love that sense of who you question or who you bank on, who you are, being non-attached to any of it because we're all just making it up anyways. There's a freedom to that. That evidently to me, the more places that I am in, different rooms that I'm in, right? And how we connect with, who am I in this community? I found myself perfectly comfortable walking around in Hollywood in some frumpy little an active jumper workout outfit when everyone else is. I'm like, it's like 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Why? It's not even brunch time yet. And I just that difference of, oh, do I have to belong? Ooh, I should keep up with whoever. And instead being like, I'm pretty happy with who I am and I can smile and that's the best accessory to my wardrobe that I can dial in. And it's designer.
It is a designer. You got a designer smile.
Yeah, I do.
I used to be one of those people. I've been in that where I always felt like someone was watching me. I always wanted to look good. Looking good was more important to me than feeling good. Mm-hmm. I would sacrifice how I felt in order to look good.
Very real.
Yeah. Now I'm like, I want my experience is, the experience is way more important. I'm not going to lie. I still care about how I look. It's part of who I am. I embrace it, but I don't prioritize it like I used to.
Yeah. I think because it's this corset that I'm in. I can barely take a full right, but also I love it. It turns me on. I think it's lovely. So it's like, I'm here to play with my friend.
It's hot.
And I think it's the other side of it is recognizing, like, does it define you or is it something that you get to play and interact with?
And that is based on the intention. Oh, and none of it's wrong or right, right? Mm-hmm. Like none of it is wrong or right. Yeah. It's just where we are on the journey and we're not done yet. Mm. We're all incomplete on the journey. We haven't reached our destination yet. Mm. And based on what we were taught growing up and what we were exposed to and what we adhere to, what lights us up, what turns us on, I'm all about if it lights you up and turns you on and it's not harming anyone else, then again, you know, what you want is safe guidance for you. And no two of us are alike. So it can look like kink or crazy or creepy or whatever. Like it's all of it.
Yeah.
And once we define it as bad or good or right or wrong, then we are pretending we're separate from it or we're scared of it. And it's like, it's all a circus. And if we like going to the circus, then it gets to be fun.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's that line of every experience you have is there to support you and give you opportunities to elevate what you're aware of, and how do you develop as a person? What do you make it mean? All those layers. That's so true. A question for you around the concept of public opinion. Will I fit in? Fear of others' perspective. You have an interesting relationship with shame, and I love it. Can you tell me about, how do you feel about shame?
Oh, I have hid from it. Like jealousy, for the first part of my life, I hid it because I grew up not liking it. So I expected other people wouldn't like it. So I just wouldn't look at it, wouldn't own it, wouldn't admit it. And then it just came out in all these uncomfortable ways. So shame is similar. And I don't think I really knew that I had shame. And I would imagine it felt very uncomfortable. So I would shy away from it, where it lives in my body currently. And I learned that guilt is doing something wrong or perceiving that you've done something wrong, whereas shame is perceiving that you are wrong.
Whoa.
And
what does that mean?
Like that you think something's wrong with you. And so differentiating that. And then as I unpacked and I separated from my husband, we had just been on a podcast about sexy marriage and we were working and then it all just unfolded into we're going to separate. And there was a lot of, I perceived shame around that. What are people going to think about me? I just came out as this and now this is happening. And we were perceived as this power couple, both coaching and had this big community. And so there was, you know, that whole thing. My current relationship with shame is realizing that I haven't done anything wrong. But there's still this energy that I've been carrying. So when I connect with it, when I'm aware of it and I'm allowing myself to be with it, much in the way I discussed how to move the energy of the feelings, there's a lot of different ways to address it. I've recently learned of havening, which is cool. You can look that up. And I did a practice of it and I was like, wow. And at the end, she asks you, where's the shame now? And I was like, oh, I can't even find it. Whereas before, tears came when I chose what I was experiencing shame around. So shame around money is a big one for that I've been working through. Is,
ooh, what do you mean?
We didn't have it growing up. Shame about not having it, making it mean something about me if I don't have enough. Mm-hmm. And then learning how to allow myself to have enough. Then I felt shame around that. So it was like, wow, I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't have it, right? And so I was like, this is important. And I love being a teacher and sharing information with people because it gives me a little extra to figure it out, to learn about it, to experience it, to unpack it, to move it through my body so that I can share with other people, to shift my awareness around it. And I love experiential learning. It's how I learned yoga. And it's always been just so, it's just, we all have our preferences as how and the best ways that we learn. And so experiential is so big for me. So I'm like diving into the deep so I can go out and then say, oh, here's a way. So I recently realized that it was all me really being afraid of being seen as being wrong.
Yes.
And because I had a belief that I was wrong, that I would project that out. And some people are going to see me as being wrong. They are. And there's probably a lot of things I can do about it, but none of them would be really in service to myself and the collective in the way that I want to be in service to myself and everyone. So instead of adapting and adjusting and playing within what I perceive their standards of who I should be is, I just decided that I am going to live according to what I want. And I've lost friends. I've lost relationships. I've healed relationships. I've had the most extraordinary experiences just letting go. But I will tell you, it is very uncomfortable when it's happening. And when I learned, because I learned how to be with my feelings and I was willing to allow myself to receive very high level support, it supported me moving through it in such a much more beautiful way. Because it's so nice to have somebody who is in your corner with you, who's witnessing you, who's reminding you that you're not what you're feeling, you're not what you're experiencing, you're not your history, you're not these identifications, you're not these things, that you're actually a human being that's connected to everything, and that whatever you're focusing on is determining your experience. And when you're focused on, and when two people are focused on that experience, so much can happen. Mm-hmm. So much can change. So much can move. So much can be revealed. So much can be released and let go of. And so much can happen.
That resonates so much with me around the having, you're perceived in a certain way, and you may, I know that for me in certain relationship dynamics that I've had, I attached meaning of, oh, we're the power couple, or we're, you know, this is how we're known in the community. And then when you change that up, that hits really hard for me, where you're like, wait a second, like, this was my brand. This is your branding, right? This is how I'm known. This is, if someone gave an elevator pitch of, oh, who is this person in this brand? Oh, they're into this, and they're advocates about this thing. And then, yeah, then circumstances mm-hmm. change. And then who are you?
Yeah. Who are you? I think that what's coming up for me is when you show up in front of people who know you to be a certain way and you don't meet that expectation, it can be chaos.
Yeah.
And when you approach that experience with some curiosity and using your imagination and trusting that you do know who you are and you know what you are mm-hmm. and you know who you're serving, and that there's that guiding force that you're connected to, and to have faith in that, the scene's always going to be changing. But the one constant thing is change. The other constant thing is who you really are.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that hits pretty hard. I can look at it in my own personal trajectory of recent events. I have leaned into the tool that you taught me, which was how do I want to feel? What is the experience of my environment? How do I want to receive love? How do I want to walk into a room? And what's the energy that I want to express whenever I'm walking into a dinner happy hour with girlfriend? Who is that woman? And getting really clear on the experiential side of that. And even what's my dynamic with my lover? What's my dynamic of what kind of love? What's my schedule? What does my schedule feel like whenever I have the love I'm attracting in my life? What, just describing those elements, but it not being attached to specific people, specific places, specific, it's just, is it this checklist of experience? So that with that structure, the variables are changing and adapting, and it feels so spacious for me when, especially speaking through navigating relationships and partnerships, and when I'm not dead set on, like, it's either with this person or it's not with this person. And it's, no, I want to have a certain quality of life that I get to be in between going surfing and then transitioning to go to the office downtown. And I feel really calm and exerted. And then I go and have an activity that evening with people that love me and know me on a really deep level. It's like that framework, the players can adapt and shift, but it feels like a very spacious true north.
I concur. So when we get attached to something, then immediately there's this, it's like this transactional thing where it's a real challenge to experience true intimacy when we think it needs to be a certain way. And intimacy is that experience that I perceive that you're sharing. It's like how you experience being on the ocean and then going where you want to go next. And it might not be the place you had planned to go, but where do you want to go now that you've actually surfed? Maybe it was you wanted to go here and now suddenly you've surfed and you've connected with the ocean and you've connected with whatever experience you were having. And then you if you're honoring that, that feels so spacious, so spacious, spontaneous.
Yeah. What would you, what advice would you give? This was one of my questions I was thinking for this chapter that you're in. What advice would you give to someone who is scared to leave a long-term relationship that is good enough, or they attach it to that personal branding? Well, I'm known, we're known as that power couple. We're known as the pickleball couple. What advice would you offer someone?
I think the thing that immediately came as I'm going to honor that and go with it is, do you tend to value freedom or safety? And I think the answer to that question will be revealing and invoke some curiosity in your, in the choice. I'm learning that we, when we move away from something, it's a different experience than when we're moving towards something. So I'd also invite somebody in that position to be like, what do I want to move towards? And that could be very, that is a very open to so many paths. One of them could be, one of them might allow you to become the person that can grow with that person.
Yeah.
That's not out of the realm of infinite possibilities. The other one could be that you decide you want to just create an entirely new life. And again, neither one is right or wrong. But when you're moving towards something, you're supported energetically. When you're moving away from something, there's way less energy, if any. We're going to bring change, but one is going to be for something, towards something, and the other is going to be moving away from. And you're going to have a very different experience based on choosing from that perspective.
Wow. I love that. Fear, are you more drawn to safety or freedom?
Yeah. And I am learning through my own experience of taking these leaps, these jumps, these just into the unknown, is there is no freedom and safety. From my experience, I've never experienced freedom and safety. Freedom from worry, but that's not really powerful. That's just relief. That's not free. But in the freedom, I have found a new sense of safety.
In the freedom, you found a new sense of safety. That's profound.
And it feels, the experience of that is so spacious and so full of faith. And it just comes with that being willing to be free to create what you want, free to evolve into the person you're here to become, free to experience what you want to experience without making it or yourself wrong or bad, and trusting yourself to be led by that divine energy that flows through us all and connects us all and everything out in nature, and really living in accordance to those principles of nature. It was so much harder to live against the principles of nature. You know, you can't push a daisy back in the ground.
Wait, I love that. Yeah. It's just, you dump daisies back in.
No. You can't stop an oak tree from growing, and weeds from coming through concrete even, or flowers from, you know, but it is, we are nature. And when we come back to our natural state and we realize what, and we realize and allow ourselves to receive and to experience what we desire to, as far as I can see now, then that's going to lead us into a place that feels really satisfying. And I think that the world could use more satisfied people. I think that it could benefit from more people who are living according to their nature.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that there's so much ease. There's ease in that. Mm. There's an alignment. Mm. There's a union. There's a flow. Yeah.
Simplicity too. The mind, I was so intellectually forward for so long, and I complicated everything. And if I'm feeling a feeling, why am I feeling this feeling? And
yeah, it's right here.
Like a bearing down, got to figure it out. Once I know why I'm feeling the feeling, But then that just takes you on another goose chase. Then there's maybe somebody or something to blame because now you know why. And it's just the mind's way of avoiding feeling the feeling and moving and experiencing the feeling and liberating yourself from the feeling.
Okay. I want you to give another challenging perspective on this same tangent. What are the three most overlooked mistakes people make when it comes to dating?
Letting their libido make the decision.
But I love my libido.
I know. I love it too. And I'm telling you, like, I only know that every time I've chosen that way, it has been really fiery. And as I understand it, when we choose from that, there's something about the familiarity of it that we are psychically connecting to our upbringing. So there's a saying that you become the parent you love and you marry the parent you hate. Awful saying, but it hit
That's
when
horrible.
I first heard it. I try not to change the words because it really hit me. I'm like, oh, okay. Instantly you realize, of course, hate is such a whatever. Yeah. However, then you're going to continue to create that dynamic until you become conscious that you're creating that dynamic. So you want to be like this authority figure, and then you're going to marry this authority figure, and then you guys are going to create a dynamic that's very similar to the one that you had in your childhood.
Wow.
And so that would be that's the first thing that came through, and I go with what I get. So then the second thing would be build a friendship. These are such great questions because I'm single and I'm not divorced yet, but I'm like thinking about all these ways that I'm going to be dating differently and I'm divorcing differently. This is my third one and I'm doing it very differently and I'm learning a lot from the experience of doing it differently. Being with myself differently, being with him differently, being with everything differently. Build a friendship, get to know each other, enjoy the dating experience. Don't be in a rush.
I'm so bad about
let
that.
Let it be fun. Let it become obvious that the next phase is what you naturally move into without it needing to look like this or comparing it to any other relationship, most especially the ones that you're seeing, you know, in the movies and the people that you're idolizing, because it's not an accurate perception. So the third would be... be who the you are.
Yes. Yes.
Be her now, him now. Don't wait to unleash the truth once you lock them down.
Oh, that hits so hard. I had the opportunity to connect with someone that I immediately realized the moment that they see my shoe collection and my thigh-high boots, they would not want to stand by me. They make that mean something. And just those little micro hits of realizing if I started already my mind working to make myself smaller and more palatable. And even in this recent chapter, taking an assessment of market value of who am I as somebody that could be dating? What do I bring to the table? Okay, I'm early 30s. I can't have children. So that right there, you know, it's such a disqualifier for people that are like, that's a big passion for them. I can't have kids, choose not to have kids powerfully at this chapter of fully embracing that. And also, I have so many weird dungeons of where I like to play and sensuality and the emotional connectedness, how critical that is to me. And I know that I am extremely demanding and I also ferociously match those asks. So that's the space where I'm like, yeah, I do demand the world. And also that's on the understanding that I will always match my partner in that space. And being somebody that's a successful female that has an operation and a momentum bigger than myself, that is extremely terrifying or threatening for some people. And it was like a really powerful exercise to just real time be like, cool. What's my three-dimensional model? Where am I positioned in the various archetypes of partnership and what matters to me? And it ultimately gave me the experience of anchoring back into a tried, true, trusted, safe dynamic that lights my soul up.
Yeah. And a fourth one came through. Do you want to hear it?
Yes. Tell me.
Don't try to change the other person. Either you like them for who they are or you don't. You don't try to make it work because you think that they'll change.
I'll love him when he stops smoking.
And that's not to say you can't ask.
Yeah.
Because asking is powerful, but not being attached to them doing it is way more powerful.
Good.
And just letting people show you who they really are or who they want you to see them as. And I think it's important to know how you feel too when you're with the person. Mm-hmm. Are you uptight and nervous, or are you relaxed and open?
Mm-hmm. When it comes to building friendships in today's day and age, girlfriend, to be a grown-ass woman in 2023, what are some critical tools to create deeper, more resonant connections?
Being present, listening, contributing, and noticing how you're feeling. I don't know that it's really much different than dating, to be honest. Letting people be who they are, letting them see who you really are, and being vulnerable and intimate and open and honest. And one of the things that I used to do a lot when I was younger and then stopped doing for a while, and I've noticed myself coming back to it, as being the one that initiates. And I love receiving invitations. And now I'm moving into, if I get a hit or an intuitive, inspired action to reach out to someone, I do it, even if it's uncomfortable, most of the time. And it's fun to see where that leads. Like, oh, I was thinking of you, and so I just wanted to call. Don't really have an agenda or know what to say. Oh, and then see where the conversation can go. Mm-hmm. And spending, you know, just being together. I really love, like, I have one friend that I'm really building a friendship with, and we love to go to the beach on Fridays and talk and sit or walk and talk and share our successes and celebrate each other. And it's a different dynamic. I think in the past, a lot of my friendships were built because when I was in a struggle. And I think people that are struggling like to see that other people are struggling. And you know, I heard somebody talking the other day about the comparative of, like, when you're going through something hard and the other one's like, oh, but this is what's happening for me. Mine's worse. Without saying mine's worse. But, like, those friendships are not the friendships I'm interested in. So in this day and time, I'm 53. I'll be 54 this year. I want to be in collaborative relationships, cooperative relationships, intimate relationships that are soulful, that are mutually supportive, and that I feel a certain way when I'm with them, and that I can add and share to their experience and also allow myself to receive what they're adding and sharing to mine.
Hell yeah. That's really good criteria.
Yeah. Mm. And I'd say the same for any lover that I were to have, you know, when I come to that place, is similar. I think that we come into these roles as man, woman, boyfriend, whatever it is. And it's like letting go of the role and just being the being with the other being who's being, and being together and love and fun and play. And I think that's adding a lot to this experience that we're in a beautiful way.
I love it. I love it. Okay. Jessica, so coming into the next quarter or two, how can people participate with you? How can they find your current offerings? And if someone wants to work with you, what are the best ways to start that conversation?
I have a women's group starting in a couple weeks. I love building community with women and inviting them to really be witnessed and witness other women stepping into their authenticity and allowing and accepting who they are. I'm working with me one-on-one. The best thing to do is go to my website, just jessicaruger.com. And I also have published something. I published the journal. That's called the Coaching Companion Journal. It is for people who are being mentored, being coached, working with a therapist, working with someone who is guiding them to become a better version, or the truer version, the actual natural version of themselves. It is a 6-month journal that has sessions, 26 sessions, and it's a great supportive tool to use with when you're working with someone, so that you can keep everything organized and you're not like as tempted to put like grocery lists and to-do lists and things. It keeps it very, I would say, like sacred, where this is the book I open when I'm working with my coach, and this is where I write about what I experienced with my coach. This is the things that I'm realizing as a result of working with this coach.
It's a powerful tool. I love my copy. I love that it's separate from just my giant, just blank notebook that, yeah, it has client names, notes from calls, all the things. And I also can vet that your group offerings are such a sacred container for women to come together. And you really do build an atmosphere in your offerings that I found the connections of with the other women that we have in the groups. Like, I'm still DMing with some of our previous friends that we've joined in together. And there is something that just doesn't come close to that shared journeying alongside other people that are opening themselves up in a conscious way to refine their life. It's amazing to hear other people's inner workings. So I personally can't recommend your offerings enough. Thank you for sharing time and again for connecting with you. Your website is jessicaruger.com. Thank you for sharing time today.
So good to be with you again.
Let's go play.
Kissed.